pack up. I'm straight enough. Oh, say, 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 wait. They don't love you like I love you. Wait. They don't love you like I love you. Maps, wait. They don't love you like I love you. Made off, don't stray. My kind's your kind. I'll stay the same. Pack up, don't stray. I'll say, say, say. I'll say, say, say. Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Maps, wait.
Hey friends, I hope you're all staying as safe and healthy and comfortable as possible, and that you're taking care of all the people and pets and plants that are important to you. I saw my first Fisher cat last week. For those who don't know, a Fisher cat, or Fisher as they're sometimes known, is a predatory mammal of the weasel family. Fisher cats are only found in North America and have been known to hunt and eat squirrels, rabbits, cats, and even small dogs. Fortunately, the Fisher cat I saw was far enough away from my dog Lola and I that I didn't have to worry about an altercation. The Fisher cat I saw looked to be over 3.5 feet long, and it had a furry, dark brown tail about as long as its body. I saw the Fisher cat the morning after the eclipse. It was bounding along across my neighbor's yard and then across another neighbor's yard, and then it disappeared behind a house. The next day, I told the guy at my gym about seeing the Fisher cat. The guy I told is much older than myself. He said that he'd only ever seen one Fisher cat in the wild in his entire life. Maybe every person in New Hampshire only gets to see one wild Fisher cat in their entire life. I should have made a wish. Folks, you are listening to the People Are the Enemy podcast. I'm the host of the show. My name is Andy Mascola. There are no ads on this program, and there is no Patreon set up for it. The only thing I ever asked of listeners is if you love the show and if you'd like to help support it and myself monetarily and get yourself or the reader in your life some excellent fiction, please consider purchasing any or all of my books. I'm the author of 11 self-published novels that are all currently available worldwide in both paperback and ebook formats via Amazon. If you don't use Amazon, you can find all of my titles in ebook format at Google Play. Just search my last name, which is spelled M-A-S-C-O-L-A. That's how you'll find me on Google Play. If you've already purchased any or all of my books, thank you, thank you, thank you. I sincerely appreciate your generous patronage. And with all that out of the way, here's the quirky theme song. People Are the Enemy listeners, this is episode 328 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. It's good to have you along. You are now rocking with the best.
Baby back, dressed in black.
Mm-hmm.
Silver buttons all down her back.
Mm.
Hollow, tipsy toe. She broke a needle and she can't sew.
Walking the dog. That's right. Sing it, Rufus. Show me how to walk that dog. That, for those who do not know, was Rufus Thomas from 1963. It was a song called Walkin' the Dog. And, yeah. So much dog walk and talk on this podcast. I figured it was worth playing. A little self-referential, I know. How are you? It's good to have you along. Have you watched Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones yet? Oh my goodness. You've got to see it. My daughter and I watched it twice. Laughed our tuchuses off both times. My goodness, it's excellent. I thought about playing a clip from it, but I'm like, this doesn't do Conan justice. You need to see it. So if you have YouTube, get on there. It's absolutely free. Type Hot Ones, Conan, and you'll see. Oh my gosh, he is a legend. Love that guy. Love Conan. Shoot, man. Speaking about the eclipse, my dog went crazy on the morning of the eclipse. Yeah, she was acting weird. She wouldn't eat her breakfast before we went out for a walk, which is very unusual. She kept looking out the window. This was at 5:30 in the morning. The eclipse, obviously, it didn't happen until 2:30 in the afternoon. I shouldn't say obviously. If you're on the east coast of the United States, you know this. But, I let her go outside. She went under the deck, wouldn't come out. It was very hard to get her out. I was freaking out. And then, while we were walking down the street the morning of that eclipse, a man shouted, "Hey, there's a fox chasing a rabbit down there!" And about 200 yards down, in front of us, I could see this fox chasing a rabbit down the center of the street, which is not something I see every day. And, Lola went ape-s. But it wasn't just her. No, I mean, walking through this one neighborhood, this neighborhood the fox was in, that dogs were going crazy all over, more than usual. Shoot, what else can I tell you? I saw Meet Me in the Bathroom, the documentary film based on the Lizzie Goodman book, all about the New York City rock music scene from 2001 to 2011. Holy moly. What a great doc. I really loved it. I rented it. And, yeah, if you want to see some amazing footage of bands like the Moldy Peaches, the Strokes, Interpol, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, who we heard at the beginning there, LCD Sound System, yeah, you got to check out this documentary. It's great. The book is amazing. The Lizzie Goodman book is fantastic. And obviously, with just like any book-to-film adaptation, there's a lot left out. So I'll tell you what, if you haven't read Lizzie Goodman's book, Meet Me in the Bathroom, and this and any of those bands I just mentioned at all interest you, the history of those bands, do yourself a favor. Watch the documentary first because it is a great primer for the book. I kind of wished I'd waited and saw the film and then read the book because, again, the book is so much more a richer experience. And there are people that come off looking very good and people who don't come off looking well at all. Ryan Adams. Oh boy, what a jerk. Courtney Love. I mean, did we not know how, not so great she was? Is? Yeah, didn't come off. Neither of them came off looking well in this documentary. Oddly, in the Lizzie Goodman book, I remember thinking that James Murphy from LCD Sound System didn't come off looking well in terms of just the way he acted and treated people. But in the film, he's very sympathetic, as is Julian Casablancas. I've always liked Julian, lead singer of The Strokes, son of John Casablancas of the Elite Modeling Empire. Weirdly, there's that connection. But yeah, you have a lot of sympathy for Julian after watching this, and you like him a lot. Not again, not that I didn't. I've always thought that he seemed like an up and up fellow. Shoot, what else can I tell you? I don't have a whole lot. It's late here. I've had a tough weekend, And I'm not going to get into it, but needless to say, I'm okay, and I'm ready to start the week. But, you know, it wasn't the greatest of times, but I was able to spend some time with my daughter. As I mentioned, we watched this documentary. I cried twice while watching it. The intro alone of Meet Me in the Bathroom had me crying. This beautiful montage of New York City art and culture, and this beautiful poem being read over this footage was just devastating. Devastatingly beautiful, I should say. And then, again, I cried when I heard and saw Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs singing that song you heard at the beginning there, Maps. Just absolutely beautiful. But let's have some fun. This show is not about crying. It's about trying to make you smile, give you a great start to the week. We try to do that. And I'm going to have a great week this week, and I know you are too. But before I hand things off to Rachel, let's listen to some clips. Or at least, let's listen to at least one clip, okay? But we need the clip theme song. So, clip theme song, please. Whenever there's trouble, we're down the double. We're the bloodhound gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time. We're the bloodhound gang. Thank you, bloodhound gang. Now, I lied. I've got two clips for you. I just remembered. I have another one I wanted to play. And I think what I'll do is I think I'll start with the one that I'd forgotten initially. And this is a clip of comedian H. John Benjamin. And some of you may know H. John Benjamin for his voice acting. He voices the character Archer on that animated series. He voices Bob Belcher in Bob's Burgers. He's got a very identifiable voice. Well, he did this thing a few years back where he made this album for Sub Pop called H. John Benjamin, or just John Benjamin, Jazz Daredevil. And the album is called Well, I Shouldn't Have. Or Well, I Should Have, rather. Or maybe it's I Shouldn't Have. What is it? No, Well, I Should Have. Pardon me. John Benjamin, Jazz Daredevil. I blew that. Anyway. And it's very, very funny. And the reason it's funny is because John Benjamin does not know how to play piano. But it's sort of, the conceit seems to be that you hear a jazz pianist and think, oh, anybody could do that. Yeah, no, not anybody could do that. And John Benjamin makes that hilariously certain with this song that I'm about to play for you. And I'd been laughing about this weekend because my daughter had reminded me of it somehow, and she hadn't heard it. And I forget who introduced it to me. I think it was a friend who plays music. I think a musician friend told me about it. But this is a track from John Benjamin's album, and I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'll play a little bit of it, and you'll get the gist. Again, John Benjamin is, quote-unquote, playing piano with legitimate jazz artists. Check this out. This is hilarious. You get the idea? And that song is appropriately titled I Can't Play Piano Part 1. I love that. I think it's so funny. I can't get beyond that first track. I don't even think that's the first track. I think it's the second one. But I can't get beyond it. I love that so much. I just laugh through the whole thing. And then I'm like, all right, now let's go clean some pots and pans or something. I don't know. But there was another clip I wanted to play for you also. This is from a YouTube guy named Rick Beato, B-E-A-T-O, who's very good. He does kind of a deconstruction. He often does like these YouTube videos are kind of a deconstruction of certain songs or albums or music. He talks with a lot of musicians, And on this one particular episode, he was speaking with Mr. Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers, with a very identifiable voice. You know Michael McDonald's voice. And I guess what had happened was, on SCTV, which was Second City Television, Rick Moranis did a sketch, this is back in the 80s, where he played Michael McDonald, where Michael runs into the sound booth in the studio to sing his one line in the Christopher Cross song, Ride Like the Wind. And if you've heard Christopher Cross's song, Ride Like the Wind, you know exactly what I'm speaking about. Anyway, Rick Beato, the interviewer in this clip, is speaking with Michael McDonald. And Michael McDonald is talking about this SCTV clip in which he was parodied by Rick Moranis. And he tells a little bit of story, tells a little story about his experience with that sketch the first time he saw it. Check it out. This is great.
You've seen the skit of, who is it, Rick Moranis,
Rick Moranis, yeah.
Plays you.
Saw that on television. I had just left Pat Simmons' room, but he goes, "Man, I got this pot. You're not gonna believe. We only take a couple hits. They're lambaste you." I made it to my room. I somehow got the key in the door, and this thing is in progress on television. I remember thinking, "That guy really looks familiar," and it was Rick Moranis dressed as me. And I thought, "I'm losing it. I'm having a hallucination." So as it played out, I realized this is SCTV, and it's a skit. I think Rick Moranis actually apologized to me. Years later, I said, "No, man." I said, "I've gotten more mileage out of that."
Oh my God,
it was so hilarious.
You've seen
good stuff, right?
In the skit,
that sketch is available. You can find it on YouTube if you just search SCTV Michael McDonald. It's really funny. Anyway, at this point, I'm gonna have to hand things off to Rachel from Des Moines, and gladly so, because she is doing a wonderful mini series on punk and new wave, and I can't wait to hear the next part of it. And I'm sure you can't also. So, without any further ado, take it away, Rachel.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Thanks, Andy. Hello, and welcome back to Rachel's Chart Chat for another week. Thanks to everyone who listened to or shared the episode last week. I heard from Sherry, who shared a nice photo of the Bromley contingent, Jill, Tavy, Mary, who is still listening to the big playlist from the weekly Hot 100 episodes. Thank you, Mary. And also hello to Sarah on Blue Sky. For this week, we will continue through the Punk and New Wave CD from Time Life's Sound of the 70s compilation. This was one disc of a 37-volume series that came out starting in 1989 and was sold on TV throughout the 90s. Purchasers/subscribers received one disc a month with music from multiple genres released in the 1970s. They covered the pop hits of each year, AM versus FM, dance music, soul, guitar legends, and various nuggets. No minimum to buy, cancel anytime. For our next group of seven songs, first up is Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers. From what I learned in my research, Jonathan Richman, founder of the Modern Lovers, was one of the proverbial 30,000 people who bought the Velvet Underground's first album, but they all started a band. Source, Brian Eno. Richman is a Massachusetts native who started the Modern Lovers in 1970. Other members included David Robinson, Ernie Brooks, and Jerry Harrison, later of the Talking Heads. The chronology is a little tricky to follow, but it seems the band played a lot live, performing songs written by Jonathan, and had a couple demo sessions / recording sessions in the early 70s, but their album wasn't released until August of 1976, over 2 years after their breakup in early 74. Roadrunner, spelled as all one word, was the side one, track one, on their album, simply called The Modern Lovers. Roadrunner was one of five tracks on the album produced by Velvet Underground member John Cale. Richman wrote the song Roadrunner at 19 years old about driving on Route 128 in Massachusetts. The song is also known as Roadrunner in parentheses twice, in contrast with Roadrunner in parentheses once, which is credited to Jonathan Richman solo. Both versions were released separately but did appear together on a single in 1977. Roadrunner is beloved by many from Massachusetts, including author John Hodgman, who supported a bill to make it the official rock song of the Commonwealth. It was also covered by the Sex Pistols on the great Rock and Roll Swindle soundtrack, to tie back to last week. Up next is a song many of you may already know and love, Rock Lobster by the B-52s. This was definitely one of my faves when I took the CD out from the Ames Library way back when. The version on this disc is the original single released on DB Records, an independent label in Atlanta. The B-52s themselves are from Athens, Georgia. This version came out in April of 1978, and Wikipedia quotes B-52s singer Fred Schneider as saying the song was inspired by the 2001 club in Atlanta, which projected a slideshow with pictures of puppies, babies, and lobsters instead of having a light show. I would recommend listening to the 1978 version from this disc and then A to B it with the version the B-52s put on their 1979 debut album, particularly the single edit, or you can check out the 6-minute 49-second album version. The main differences are a faster tempo on the original single and the more raw sound / lower sound quality of the recording. The re-recorded Rock Lobster, the single, that charted on the US Hot 100 in the spring of 1980, hitting number 56. This version was a number one pop hit in Canada as well as number 3 in Australia, top 40 in the UK and New Zealand. It also made number 24 on the US Dance Club Play chart. The band played Rock Lobster on SNL when they were the musical guest in January of 1980. If you do decide to check out that original B-52s album, be sure to listen to There's a Moon in the Sky Called the Moon, one of my personal favorites. Up next is a garage punk band called The Cramps with their second single, Human Fly. It was released on the Vengeance label in 1978. The Cramps formed in 1976 by husband and wife duo Lux Interior, real name Eric Lee Perkheiser, on vocals, and Poison Ivy, aka Christy Wallace, on guitar. The Cramps are known for creating the psychobilly genre, combining punk rock and rockabilly. Poison Ivy is quoted on Wikipedia as saying they used the term rockabilly voodoo on their early flyers. They cite a wide variety of influences from surf rock, R&B, garage rock, and punk, as well as horror and sci-fi B-movies. The band was active from 76 until 2009, with Lux Interior and Poison Ivy the only constant members, adding others on rhythm guitar, bass, and drums. Just as they cast a wide net on their influences, so did a lot of musicians draw inspiration from the Cramps, such as the Black Keys, White Stripes, Sisters of Mercy, My Bloody Valentine, and Faith No More. They made their national TV debut on Late Night with Conan O'Brien in 1994 and also appeared on Beverly Hills 90210 in 1995. Up next are three artists that are all connected. We start off with a song from prolific singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer Nick Lowe. Heart of the City was the B-side of his debut single So It Goes, taken from the album Jesus of Cool. On this compilation and on the B-side, that runtime is only 2 minutes and change, while the album features a 4-minute live Heart of the City. Now, I should say that only applies to the UK version of the album. In the US, the album was called Pure Pop for Now People and had a different track listing, including that studio Heart of the City. So It Goes didn't chart in any territory, but the album Jesus of Cool hit number 22 in the UK and Pure Pop hit number 127 in the US in the spring and summer of 78. I think Time Life is filing Heart of the City under the new wave side, but Lowe is also known for pub rock and power pop. In the US, Nick Lowe is a one-hit wonder for his song Cruel to Be Kind, which hit number 12 in 1978, but he's also well-respected for the songs he wrote for other artists and extensive producing work. For example, I learned that Nick Lowe wrote and recorded the original version of What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding with his group Brinsley Schwartz in 74, and it was later covered by Elvis Costello and the Attractions for the much more well-known version. Additionally, Lowe was married to Carlene Carter, and his ex-stepfather-in-law, Johnny Cash, had covered another one of his songs. One artist he's closely associated with is Elvis Costello, represented here with Radio Radio. This was released as a standalone single in the UK and as the closing track on his second album, This Year's Model, in the US. Radio Radio, like all songs on the album, was written by Costello himself, real name Declan McManus. Costello has described Radio Radio as a shameless imitation of Bruce Springsteen, Circa, The Wild, The Innocent, and The E Street Shuffle, and was originally called Radio Soul. he was inspired by cynicism towards English radio at the time. The song has become well known for an incident on SNL where Costello was performing live with his band, The Attractions. They launched into radio after starting the predetermined Less Than Zero. This was referenced in the 25th anniversary of SNL special when Costello joined the Beastie Boys as they started Sabotage and then altogether switched to radio. Up next is Dave Edmunds with I Knew the Bride in parentheses when she used to rock and roll, a song written by Nick Lowe. Lowe and Edmunds had also been in a band together called Rockpile. Dave Edmunds is a Welsh singer-songwriter best known in the U.S. for his number 4 hit I Hear You Knocking in 1970. Very distinctive out-of-phase vocal. I Knew the Bride was a number 26 hit in the UK in 1977, number 32 in Australia, but didn't chart in the US. As I give a close listen to these songs on this compilation for this exercise, I'm surprised to hear so much rockabilly type stuff on here. For me, I'd probably prefer 1 or 0. I Knew the Bride appears on Dave Edmunds' third album called Get It. In addition to writing or co-writing 4 of the songs, Nick Lowe also played bass on the album. The album also has a fun cover of Bob Seger's Get Out of Denver. I read a great quote about I Knew the Bride from Don Waller. It's the best Chuck Berry song that Chuck Berry didn't write. Nick Lowe also covered I Knew the Bride in 1985 for an album of his, and that track was produced by Huey Lewis. To finish up this week, we have Big Star with a song from their third album, simply called Third, which is called Thank You Friends. Big Star are known for being important and influential in the power pop genre. Two of their better-known songs include September Girls, which appears on the FM Rock 3 installment of Sounds of the 70s, or 13. They're often described as a cult band, and I came to know that even within that, Third, also called Third/Sister Lovers, is a cult album. It was actually released after the band broke up. Big Star were initially active from 71 to 74. Then there became a renewed interest in the late 80s, when bands like R.E.M. and The Replacements cited Big Star as an influence. Their 3 albums were reissued in 1992, and the band reformed in 93, releasing a new album in 2005. The Replacements actually have a song called Alex Chilton, that is the Big Star lead singer and guitarist. Chilton was from Memphis, and the band had formed there. Well, that's all from me this week. Thanks so much for listening. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Rachel. Amazing work, as always. This has been episode 328 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Our theme song is Walrus Love by Nokia Ocean. You can find that song and more at pizzapuppies.bandcamp.com. My name is Andy Mascola. You can purchase my novels via Amazon and other online book retailers in both paperback and ebook formats for as little as $1.99. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you, Rachel from Des Moines. We love you. Peace.